is the Social Media Church podcast, and my name is DJ Chuang. I want to welcome you to this new podcast that we are creating to be a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And as the inaugural podcast episode, I want to introduce you to what we will be doing here on a weekly basis. I think at this point, what I can share with you is that we want to get started. There are already great resources on the interwebs about how to get started with social media, tutorials about social media, great tips and ideas for how to use social media in the context of the church. And occasionally I will link to those in the show notes and share those with you. For this podcast in particular, I want to create a place for conversations and help us to get behind the thinking of a church leader and how to begin implementing and integrating social media into the life of the church. So I'd like to get started right away with a conversation I had with Kenny Jang, who is the pastor of innovation and media at Liquid Church in New Jersey, one of the suburbs of New York City, New York. And Kenny's somebody that I've conversed with over social media during the past year or so, and we've actually met up in person. And I love his idea of how social media can make such a bigger impact in the world. And in our conversation, you'll hear just how he is thinking about it, how Liquid Church is using social media and traditional media to extend the ministry of the church and to be a witness into the world. And on the other side of the conversation, I'll take some time to give you some of the thinking that I have behind this podcast and what I hope to do in the coming weeks and months and years as we extend this conversation to include church leaders from all over the country, potentially around the world, and include you. We want to hear your voice and to have you chime in with your questions, your thoughts, your dreams. And learn together, because social media and technology and church is constantly on the move and developing and maturing. And we're here to be a place for conversations about social media. Here's my chat with Kenny Jang.
Kenny, tell us about what is going on there at Liquid and social media.
Hey, DJ, thanks for having me today. We're having fun over here at Liquid Church. We're trying to push the boundaries and really see what technology and faith can do when we try to intersect them together. So we're doing a bunch of things and understanding that we haven't figured it out completely yet, just trying to experiment with different things. For instance, we're in Google Hangout together today recording this. And we used to do Talkbox for our online small groups, and we've actually now moved over to Google Plus to see if that is a better format for interactivity for our small groups online. So we're constantly changing, constantly checking out new technologies, and seeing if that works for our community.
Well, rewind the tapes for us. There's people that are listening to this podcast that do not know the history of Liquid Church. How did it start? Where is it at now? And when did they start doing this internet church kind of thing?
So Liquid Church, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary, Easter. So 5 years ago, Easter was the first time that Liquid moved into the Hyatt Morristown. We're a portable church. Today, 5 years later, we are three campuses. We have three offline campuses in Morristown, in Nutley, and New Brunswick, New Jersey, as well as our online church. So the church online came into being, actually, it's a very curious story. We have an actual church online pastor, Dave Adamson, who pastors that campus. And he actually came from Australia, actually came into relationship with Liquid Community via the podcast and the video streaming that Liquid started to do, and just fell in love with this community and with the teaching, and the model that was going on. And so what actually happened was Dave moved his whole family from Australia to the United States.
Wow.
To become part of the Liquid staff and pastor and launch this community here in from New Jersey. So that happened a couple years ago, and since then it's been going strong. And so Dave, actually Aussie Dave as we call him, does both pastoring of our online campus, and also he leads our worship teams in offline campus as well.
Now, describe what is your role there. You just joined staff recently.
Yes. I wear a couple of hats. The official title is Media and Innovation Pastor, and the big chunk of that right now is media relations. So the PR and press and getting the word out about our ministry and trying to get the public square to talk about some issues about faith and engaging culture in that way. But largely it's to portray our church in a very positive manner out there in public and also attract more people to our ministry locally in our campuses in Nutley, New Brunswick, and Morristown. The other portion is really trying to ramp up and iterate our church online experiences and trying to figure out really how do we push those boundaries further. And there's a couple of other things that we're trying to do project-wise in terms of other forms, other mediums, other media of utilizing technology is particularly to really spread the gospel both online and offline. So, you know, one of the other things is just syndication of our content for audio, for video, and we've recently just added bilingual to our campuses. So Spanish podcast is another one, the latest addition that we're trying to do to see if that's an area that would be, something that we could have an impact on in spreading the gospel in a bilingual manner.
Yeah, take a second and explain how you're doing that bilingual translation. Are you doing like a overdub on top of the video of the pastor, or do you have a separate Spanish pastor, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, conceptually, we're not approaching this as a full ministry with Spanish language services. So what we've taken the first step is we've responded to some of the people in our community that they would like to be able to bring their family, their friends that do speak Spanish. And so we've added a live, they have the earpiece and the remotes at our local campuses where you can come in and actually get a live translation that's done in real time. So we actually hired a Spanish translator on staff. And that gets recorded and dubbed with the video. And that goes out to our iTunes and, our website, our podcast. So on liquidchurch.com, you can actually listen to and download our video and audio podcasts. And now you can do the same thing with Spanish and same thing with our iTunes podcast channels as well.
Fantastic. So as you've been there, how many months now?
It's been about a year officially at this point.
Wow. Well, congratulations. I wanted to celebrate that with you. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And in your year there, how have you seen social media being incorporated in the life of Liquid Church in addition to using it as a broadcast medium to distribute content?
So we're looking at social media for, I guess, in one of the biggest areas that we look to social media is for community development, community interaction. When you are at a church of our size with a couple thousand people that are attending on Sundays, sometimes it's hard for people to get connected with each other and have that community experience. And so throughout the week on Facebook, we have a pretty vibrant community. We actually have, I believe, over 4,000 fans right now. And then our Twitter channel also, we have conversations. And there, for instance, we are targeting geographical followings for the townships, people that self-identify themselves by geography around the three campus cities. That's the first immediate target to have conversation partners there, whether or not they go to our church or even outside the church, right? So we are trying to engage conversation with the entire community. On Facebook, same thing. We actually have content streams that we editorially schedule out throughout the week, and we have a philosophy here. It's kind of like going to your hairdressers, right? So if you go to church on Sunday and you go to your hairdresser on Monday, what do you talk about? They always say, what you do this weekend or what happened at church? So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we try to focus on content that relates directly to what the sermon messages were this past Sunday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if you go to the hairdressers, they're no longer talking about what you just did the weekend. You're talking about life in general, what's looking ahead, what's coming up. So the content skews at that point in the later portion of the week intentionally about broader issues, a little bit more fun stuff, things that are looking ahead, forward-looking, things like that. So even editorial, at the latest iteration of our editorial calendar, that's how we're trying to engage our audiences online on Facebook, and it seems to be doing well.
Very cool. One of the coolest things that I've seen of any church doing something, in particular Liquid Churches, over this past Christmas, you did a virtual choir. That's really pushing the envelope. So describe what happened there.
Yeah, so we had this idea of, it started with our church online campus. Typically, you know, what do you do for Sunday services on Christmas? You have the kids come up, or you have a Sunday choir for Christmas. And we said, how do we involve our people, our community from church online? And so the idea was, why don't we assemble a virtual choir online, get the pieces ready, separate all the parts, soprano, alto, bass, that kind of thing, put those the sheet music out there, sample songs out there, have a conductor, and everyone recorded their own voice, uploaded it to YouTube, and then our video media team downloaded everyone's individual voices, the video clips, and then synchronized them all together into a vast choir. So it was a fun project. We got a couple hundred submissions, and you can actually look up the final product. So we built it as the first ever Silent Night virtual choir, and it turned out, for me, it turned out as a much larger experience than we thought about initially. It came out to be a very enriching and dynamic song. So you can look it up online. It's on our YouTube channel or on our website.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes for people to take a look. It's quite an inspirational thing. Where do you see the difference between media and social media? It sounds like you're more focused on the broader media side of things, but there's also the social media component.
So in my, you know, my vocational background is from advertising, PR, and you know, those type of communication disciplines. And I believe, you know, that's some of the trade tools that I've been gifted with that the church as a whole sorely needs, right? Understanding how to have broader communications, especially mass market, so that we are able to get our conversation piece out in the public square, like I said before, right? So for instance, this past year, we were able to get coverage on a couple hundred newscasts, right? The 6 or 7 o'clock evening news, to get coverage in a couple hundred news broadcast segments, and, you know, and then the larger cable outlet news, et cetera, and trying to affect that conversation, right? So, for instance, this weekend we have an interview scheduled to talk about secular music versus traditional worship music, and if there's any place within the church for secular music, et cetera. So having those conversations with the broader secular media is a very interesting one, and especially portraying faith in a very positive manner. This last weekend, we got onto the front page of two pretty decent-sized newspapers in New Jersey talking about our community outreach. We are known at Liquid Church for our large-scale outreaches. We assembled about 750 volunteers this week to do outreaches for the HIV AIDS community in Morristown for the American Red Cross and the schools in Nutley, and then for the largest soup kitchen in New Brunswick. And so getting our people into action, putting their faith into action is a big part of it, and showing that we just want to love the community, no strings attached, and just help our fellow neighbors is a big thing. So being able to portray that in the media is a big thing. And then on the social media side, that comes in with the innovation. That truly is part of, I think, a new way that the church needs to understand how to communicate with the people out there.
Yeah, it's fairly easy to understand that media is a great tool to propagate the message of the gospel, which is kind of the call of the church. But why is it important for a church to be so concerned about innovation? I mean, there's not many pastors of innovations out there. So why is Liquid Church investing in that?
Well, I think we, at least here in this ministry, understand that God himself was a creative entity. From the very first pages of our text, we see God as creator. And the church needs to, I think, reclaim or recapture that creative center, whether it be through creative arts and worship and music or other boundaries that you can push. But why can't or why shouldn't the church be the center of creativity and innovation? Mm-hmm. It just makes sense that we have an opportunity here to lead our own peers in this, you know, in the ministry world, but also lead the world in general, where or other organizations can look to us for, you know, innovation.
Okay. Quick question on two up-and-coming social networks. Where do you see Liquid Church engaging on Pinterest and on Google Plus?
Sure. Google Plus is easy. We're already starting there. I told you with our multi-user Bible study groups. So that's one place. And also potentially a teaching component. We, you know, just like we have life classes in our offline Sundays, we were looking at doing some type of online format where you could use something like this, Google Plus on Air, where you would actually broadcast a teaching element. You would be able to have interactivity, questions and answers for multiple people attending, and then extending that conversation, you know, in the circles to have different class groupings, have those discussion groups afterwards throughout the week. So that's one thing we're looking at Google Plus. The other one, Pinterest, definitely is on everyone's radar, as you can tell. And so
hey, I did the research. I only found 10 churches on Pinterest.
Yeah, I think everyone is talking about it. Everyone's looking at it. The question is, what do you do with it? And again, our plans right now, we have, I just came out of a meeting this week, where we're trying to assemble our strategy. And if you look at some of the larger churches, whether it be Driscoll's Church on the West Coast or Redeemer City of the City, Tim Keller's church in New York, their Pinterest board is up and live. Again, I would skew toward trying to use those pin boards to celebrate the cities that we are in, right? We want to love those cities to life and really become the advocates for those places, those city centers. So using the pin boards to be actually not just the, not like a yellow pages, but like your guide, your seer into those cities and those neighborhoods is something that we're looking at. How do you do that in a formal way on Pinterest?
Fantastic. Now, we want to make this a place for conversation here at Social Media Church. So what is a question that you would like to leave for the next person to answer about social media in the church that you would like to ask?
Sure. Well, this past week, I had a chance to meet Jack Dorsey, who came to New Jersey. And Jack Dorsey is the founder of Twitter, as you know, founder of Twitter and Square. And so one of the questions that's on my mind came up in his talk. One tangential thought is, what do you lose or what do you gain with relationships online? So using social media, virtually mediated relationships with these social media tools, there's some components of community building and relationship building that definitely enriches the relational aspects of, interacting with each other. But then there's also components that you miss and lose out, right? So that's the question I would ask for everyone that is engaged in this question of how we are iterating our social media experiences. What do we gain and what do we lose in our relationships by using social media?
Mm-hmm. Very good. And potentially we'll have 300,000 churches and leaders listening to this podcast. So what would you encourage them with for churches that are still not sure about how much to step into social media and what is all this online church kind of stuff?
I would say the first thing is you got to try it out and you got to start by doing. It's this that entrepreneurial side that has to kick in and you just need to try it and see it for yourself. And I think once you start to do a couple of services online or get engaged with some communities, whether it be Bible studies or other formats of church online, you'll start to see where it's relevant to yourself and your own community, but also start to see what the potential is and start to dream about what faith really could be outside of what we know today.
Well, fantastic. Kenny, thank you for being my first guest on the Social Media Church, and thank you for inspiring me and giving me that focus of creating that space for conversation with church leaders about social media. And we'll see how this grows and takes off and how we can learn together as the church capital C.
Definitely. Always great to talk to you, DJ.
And that was Kenny Chang of Liquid Church and Godvertiser.com. I'll put a link in the show notes to his church, his social media contacts, as well as the video to the Silent Night Virtual Choir. You've got to check that out. So Kenny, help me put a framework around this Social Media Church podcast. And so I want to give credit where credit is due. And we were bantering around some different ideas of how I could create this space to help us learn together about Social Media Church and to capture these thoughts and conversations that would be at a place that would be an archive and a reference for others that want to listen in and learn from others in different kinds of churches and different kinds of settings in order to pick up some ideas that they can adapt and apply in their own context. And so I think the podcast format is particularly useful in a way that's different than video or blogging or short form social media. And by short form social media, I mean like Twitter or Facebook, where content is posted in very short form, 140 characters, or I don't know what the Facebook limit is, we'll say 500 characters or so. And the lifespan on those things is just a matter of hours. You can tweet something out and then in 2 or 3 hours, it passes the half-life and the response rate, the view rate of whatever it is that you tweet out just drops. And the same thing with Facebook. You might have something that will be there for a day, something like that. And then the stream of data and updates keep scrolling by. And so unless you happen to catch someone at just the right time, that window of time closes pretty quickly. Blogging is great because it's search engine friendly, and so when you post content there, it's got that long tail effect, and if you don't go deleting older content, it's got a shelf life of months and years. And if you're addressing a topic that is relevant or applies to a particular situation, and you match the keywords and phrases, and if other people are linking to it, it still has values for a long, long time. And the difference here on doing a audio podcast is that with an audio podcast, you get more of the tone of voice and you also get the portability that you don't get with most of the other forms of media. Sure, you can watch a video on mobile now, but that also means you got to have an internet connection that's live, and having traveled enough And even just around where I live here in South Orange County, California, there are spots where the internet connectivity is just not very good. And so rather than having to rely on a live internet connection to have content, this audio format allows you to take content with you. And even with blogging, that's something you've got to read, which means whether you're looking at audio or video, you got to use your eyes. And I don't know about you, but if you spend as much time as I do or the average person does now with how they do work in front of a computer screen, if there's a way that I can digest content without having to use my eyes looking at a screen or looking at a digital paper e-reader, and to be able to close my eyes or to do some other things and have some content flow in the background, hey, audio podcast is something that I listen to, particularly in my car when I'm commuting. And sometimes when I'm working out, I can put that on, have some content flowing by. I don't have to pay it full attention. And when something is said that does catch my attention, I can always rewind and tune in. If there's something that I don't like, I can always fast forward and skip. And if I'm in a plane, if I'm in a tunnel, there's no disturbance on my podcast, I can continue listening and take it with me. So one more thing about audio podcasts is that we can create that experience where people are actually having conversations rather than just a monologue or a speech or a presentation. We can actually have the real-time interaction and banter back and forth, or even with three or four people. We may try that in the future. And so, again, we want to make this Social Media Church podcast a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. I want to invite you to chime in by calling our voicemail and leaving a message in the inbox. Just state your name and add your comment, and we'll try to incorporate it into a future episode of the Social Media Church. If there's someone you would love to hear from and pick their brains, or if you would like to come on to the Social Media Church podcast, please drop me a line anytime. We'll keep the website up 24/7, and I'm on the various social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course the website, which is socialmediachurch.net. So click on over, subscribe to the podcast on your iTunes or your RSS reader. Until the next episode of the Social Media Church podcast, this is DJ Chuang. Let's continue the conversation online.